Welcome back to the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. Last hour of the day here. I'm going to pop out at 3 o'clock. UNC's Pro Day is happening. Ed McCaffrey, I thought, has done a really good job of promoting his program. Recently, really recently. And I'm not knocking the way. Listen, last year was last year's his first year, but I do feel like the guy is really getting after it. And he's been tweeting out kind of quick little profiles of all the guys that are going to be working out this afternoon. Komate Coffey, True Wilson, Xander Gagnon, Robert Gillum, Dylan Thomas, Jerome Jackson, Sam Flowers. So it should be fun. And then I'm heading out tomorrow for CSU's Pro Day. That'll be in the morning. Like I said, Jades, I'll be coming in hot, man. Be ready to go. Obviously, the big stuff will be Trey McBride. But Ryan Stonehouse, great punter. He will be punting in the NFL. Will he get drafted? Punters typically don't get drafted. But we'll see. He's definitely one of those guys that can change the field. Speaking of changing the field, man, Russell Wilson. It's like, what a gift. I mean, yeah, the fact that the Broncos are here again, and I know it was 6 years, six pretty miserable years. It's not like they were Cleveland Brown years. They were just pretty miserable. They weren't like two-win seasons, but still pretty rough. I mean, you get through all that, and light at the end of the tunnel, heck with light at the end of the tunnel, there's like an oasis at the end of the tunnel. There's Russell Wilson. Another Hall of Famer who's 33. I mean, when the Broncos got Manning, how old was Manning when the Broncos got him? I mean, he was in his late, wasn't he in his late 30s? I want to say. But this has been already a dream come true. I mean, who doesn't like Russell Wilson? Even the little fun stuff we did about Mr. Unlimited, even though I didn't know what the hell that was about. Still, it's Russell Wilson. If you want to pretend you're Mr. Unlimited and do weird videos with your wife, okay, I'm in. That's great. We played it on the show. We talked about it. I feel like the guy can do no wrong. He's a Denver Bronco. I already said it. I feel like with all the moves last week and with the big exit for the Chiefs with Tyreek Hill, I like it, man. Mark the Broncos up. Grab that AFC West. They're going to win that AFC West for the first time since 2015. It's been a while. It's been a long while. Jerry Jeudy, though. All right, so I had Zach Stevens on yesterday asking about Jerry Jeudy. What's the situation there? And again, I don't really fault a guy for not wanting to show up at a person's house and throw the football around when it's their off season. You know? If you can still be great by just doing what you're supposed to do, the minimum of what you're supposed to do, then who are we to judge? There are a lot of guys that do that. But Jerry kind of, I think, fanned those flames a little bit by getting on Twitter and saying, hey, there's more to life than football. Then he did cryptic Instagram posts. Then it was like stuff about a baby. I don't know what anybody, I can't decipher that code. I don't know what it means. However, he is now with Russell Wilson, or at least yesterday, and just listening to Russ, he's got his kid out there with him, running routes, running audibles, pretending to be an offense. Just listen to this, and A, it just should get you even that much more excited about the caliber of quarterback and leader you're getting. And B, it also goes to show you why the NFL, the overtime rules, and all the rule changes are affecting the quarterbacks, because these men that play quarterback, especially at the top level, are some of the greatest athletes / sports minds we're ever going to see, and they're only getting sharper and better. Listen to this, just a minute of this. It's just, to me, it's pure football bliss.
Beautiful. Nice, Jerry. Beautiful, Jerry. That's perfect.
Good throw. Go, Lynn.
Beautiful.
Touchdown.
Good ball. Nice.
Back shoulder. Beautiful.
Fast right. Fast right. Boom, boom, boom. Over here. Over here. Pass right. Fast right. Right here, future. Right here, future. Yep. Good. Take it on. Go kick, kick. Sit, 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 sit. Good, good, good. Sit, sit. Nice. Now go foot, foot. Foot, foot. Foot, foot. Outside, outside, outside. Hey, motion down. F short. F short. Boom. Good. Now if I said shorty, you're coming inside us. Coming inside us. Oh, good, 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 good. Now, let's go trip right, trip right.
I mean, come on. I mean, listen, I know it's not like this epic production, but this is just guys working. And it just gives you how fast they're practicing. I mean, Russell Wilson is constantly talking to Jerry there. He's constantly getting him in the right position. He's got his kid out there. I think that was the oldest kid? The stepson? Was that Future? That was Sierra's, like, kiddo from the past, and obviously those guys are tight. You can hear him. He's, like, saying go Broncos and everything. Imagine that, man. Like, you're out there running routes, and you're running audibles, and because he wants to get that real feel there. So when a guy moves here, you move over there, you know what that's going to be. This is the stuff that's going to pay off. This is why I always used to say that off-season stuff, even though we say it, and I even said it. Like, listen, I don't fault you for not being there if it's not part of your work, your practices and your OTAs and your training camps. But my goodness, if you can get everybody together like this, and this is what a leader does. Now, I don't know. I know, you know, Drew Lock probably got with the guys once in a while to throw the ball around. Did Teddy Bridgewater probably. But this is just great. I mean, was it Benjamin Franklin once said, it's not enough just to work hard. It's not enough just to tell people that you work hard. They got to see it. They got to see it and really believe it and really buy into what you're doing. And we're seeing it. Beauty of social media is going to, you know, showcase this a little bit more. It's fantastic. I love it. Dixon, I knew it, man. Dixon, get in on this, boy. Your guy's gone. Tyreek's gone. What are you guys going to do? Brady, really showing the damage here that these years of not having a quarterback have done to you. Getting a little too excited about this stuff. Chill out, bro. Sounding really desperate. Says the guy that just lost one of their superstars. I'm pretty happy, man. Dixon says, you act like he's doing something no other quarterback does. Russell Wilson has done things that no other quarterback has done. He's a Hall of Fame quarterback. Of course he does things that no other quarterback's done. Your boy Patrick Mahomes probably does this. Yes, I'll give you that. But are all the quarterbacks doing this on a regular basis? The crack of dawn? Putting in the work like this? The guy installed a football field in his backyard. Yes, yeah, absolutely. This is absolutely something that not all quarterbacks do. Peyton Manning did it. But not all quarterbacks are doing what Russell Wilson's doing. Absolutely not. That guy is a specimen. I mean, he is a church mouse, dude. Like, he doesn't do anything wrong. He's a great role model. He's constantly working. Yes, he does a lot more than your average quarterback does. Oh, I'm absolutely thrilled. I am so pumped for this. You know, again, the trade doesn't bother me as much because he's 33 and you didn't give up as much as you were going to have to give up for Rodgers. So to say I'm slowly but surely getting all in, no doubt about it. I am there. Broncos are winning the AFC West next year. 15 minutes after the hour, we're going to get Mike Brohard on the program from CSURams.com. Like I said, I was not able to get out to practice today, but I'm hoping to get out to Pro Day tomorrow and practice for CSU on Thursday as well. It's a busy week in terms of spring football around here, so we're excited to get to it. 15 after the hour, though, we'll talk to Mike following the break. Before we do that, shout out to my guys over at On the Rocks Liquor. We got our game beer of the week from Left Hand Brewing in Longmont. It's a double milk stout, 10.5% alcohol. Double milk stout. That sounds pretty good today, doesn't it? Pick up selections from Left Hand or any of your favorite adult beverages at On the Rocks Liquor. You can use their drive-thru. They're open until midnight every night. This Friday from 4 to 7, they got a free wine and spirit tasting from CTS Distributors in Denver. So check them out. That's On the Rocks Liquor off of Highway 34 and 47th Avenue, 16 minutes after the hour. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Mike Brohard of CSU Rams coming up to CSURams.com coming up next.
If you want nuggets insight, then you want the Hull Show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Miles Blumhardt, sports editor at the Fort Collins Coloradoan, and you're listening to the Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
That's a good one, man. You didn't just go with the conventional happy birthday there. Well, there you go. Happy birthday to our great friend, Mike Brohard with CSURams.com. Mike, they didn't let you off today, huh?
No. No, it's just another day.
Just another day in paradise. All right.
Kyle Neves is a slave driver.
That's what I was going to say, man. Maybe he doesn't want to do the segment today because he's off. He's out hanging out. But I figured Kyle had you up to something. And it's not like there's a lot going on or anything. Spring practice, you got the big pro day coming up tomorrow. You guys have just been in overdrive. What is it, July? Is that when you get time off, Mike? I mean, when does that happen for you?
Is it July?
No, when? Yeah, I mean,
I don't remember. Yeah, I don't know.
All right, let's talk about this. You got the big pro day coming up tomorrow. I'm looking forward to it. I do want to talk about, you know, your thoughts on spring practice thus far. This is an exciting time. Obviously, Trey McBride, this is an exciting time anytime. You know, pro days are always fun. I'm heading out to UNC's this afternoon, but when you throw Trey McBride in the mix, listen, we've all got those expectations of where we think he might go, but what a special football player. And again, just to get this one last punch here for CSU football in the pro day, and then, of course, we're going to see what happens in the draft. Can't wait to see what this guy does at the next level, man.
Yeah, you're really about Trey. He's a special individual, period. I really am going to miss him around here, and his brother Toby. They're just great salt of the earth people, made coming to work fun. Trey made fun of me as much as anybody ever has, I think, in my life. And, you know, he fit in 4 years of making fun of me. It made it worthwhile, made it tough. Saw him today. That was the cool thing about today's practice. You know, you see him, Ross Ryder was out there, Toby showed up, Manny Jones was out there, Scott Patchett was out there, Cam Butler was out there. You know, these are guys that they're going to go on showcase. Anthony Konkolakis was out there, too. Can't forget him. But these are guys, you know, some of the 12 guys are going to be, you know, putting their wares on display tomorrow. It's a big job interview for them, and they're going to be a bunch of teams in here. The beauty of having a Trey McBride in a class is it brings more eyes out for these other guys. Ryan Stonehouse, I find it interesting on pro days. Like for Ross Ryder and Ryan Stonehouse, you know, the draft process is a little bit different for them. I mean, they're both very talented at what they do, but there aren't a lot of punters and long snappers drafted. But still, they're going to get a look, and somebody's going to be interested in it. You know, they get a chance tomorrow to maybe have more people see them because you've got somebody like Trey McBride on campus working out, and a lot of teams are interested in him.
Talking to Mike Brohard from CSURams.com. And you're right. That's a great point, too. Obviously, we're talking a lot about Trey McBride. But what it does, it's a beacon, too. And if you get a stud like that, guy, you're getting a lot of team reps coming to check him out. But in that process, it's kind of a buy. You know, not to say these other guys don't deserve those looks anyway, but it's more of an obvious look. It's like, hey, we're here now. Wow. Take a look at some of these other studs that are sticking out. So I think that's going to be a heck of an opportunity. You talk about Scott Patchett. He's one I've wondered about. Obviously a very talented player, down year overall for the football side of things, as we know. Do you think a guy like Scott gets drafted? Is he an NFL talent? How far do you think he can go, Mike?
You know, I don't know. He's a curious one. One, his age, he's a little bit older than just a kid, most kids coming out of college. And you don't know how NFL teams are going to look at that. But he did show a major ascension in his game here at Colorado State. I mean, at Miami, you know, they didn't They didn't think he could rush the passer. He proved he could do that here. Teams will look at him differently in that regard. Whether he or not he gets drafted late, you know, that's kind of interesting. I mean, is he somebody that's a late round draft pick because somebody takes flyer because they like him as a pass rusher? But he's somebody I definitely think will end up in a camp just because of what he's done. Sometimes, you know, it's an interesting thing to me as we talk about some of these guys and will they get drafted. And it's a big deal. I think everybody would love to hear their name called because not everybody gets that in their life. But I do remember talking to David Anderson, and he was a late-round draft pick. But he said at the time, you know, as it was closing down, he started hoping he wouldn't get drafted.
Mm.
Because as a free agent, he could pick where he went and find a place where he thought he actually fit and there was opportunity. So it's interesting sometimes talking to some of these guys that go in the later rounds, you know, they start looking at free agency and go, hey, you know, because they do have an idea of where they think they would fit, what system suits them, you know, where there's an opportunity, maybe there's not an overload on the roster at their position, and they like that. You know, it worked out really well for Shaq Barrett, you know, going to Denver. They weren't overloaded at his position. He signs a free agent contract. It worked really well for him.
How great is that, too, to have that story? Obviously, you have the major draft success stories, but to have a Shaq Barrett, too, where it's like, hey, guys, put on a great show no matter what, because the draft is great and it would be an honor, but at the end of the day, it's not the end-all, be-all. You can go be one of the best defensive players in the game, like Shaq Barrett, and not get drafted. So, to me, there's motivating factors on both sides.
Yeah, there is. I mean, obviously, it's different for Trey. You're looking at him as he's going to fall somewhere between the 20 to 40 range. He's going to get that nice guaranteed money right off the bat. But it doesn't guarantee success. I mean, if you think about it, if you're a Bronco fan, you know, Shaq Barrett was a really good guy. Rod Smith was an undrafted free agent, one of the greatest receivers of all time for the Broncos in the NFL. There are success stories out there. You don't have to get your name called those 3 days to make an impact in the league.
Mike, I know you're close to this program, but if you had to guess, I mean, Trey McBride, is he a first rounder?
Okay, so yes, he's a first round talent. Does that mean as the draft falls, is there a team that's going to take him as a tight end in the first round, depending on how things go? I mean, the quarterback shuffle will always mess things up. You know, if guys fall, if there's a huge run on them early, you know, I do think, you know, you look at Cincinnati, which drafts late, they need a tight end. He's obviously the best tight end in the draft, but is that where they go in the first round? Those are the questions we have to ask. He is definitely a first round talent. There's no doubt about it, but what are teams thinking when it comes down to their time to send that name card up to the commissioner and who they want to draft? That's the key thing.
Yeah, there's so many different variables when you look at it. And again, we see this in every single year. Second round guys, third round guys might go on and have a better rookie year than those first round guys, because, and not to belittle the draft, but it can be a crapshoot at times, especially as you said, when you start throwing those quarterbacks in. Teams are desperate to find a quarterback, so they're going to reach no matter what, even if, as we've heard and documented this year, the quarterback draft class doesn't seem as strong as it's been in the past, but still teams are going to reach, so that's always going to account for like 4 or 5 picks, which is pretty huge for a guy like Trey McBride.
Yeah, it is. But, you know, the huge thing, if you talk to Trey McBride, he just wants a shot. Is he gonna mope if he's not picked in the first round? No. He's going to be happy that he's got an opportunity somewhere. He's going to make the most of it. And I do think you're looking at a guy that's going to be an impact player in the NFL for the next 10 years. And he's going to make the most of it. It's not going to bother him if he's not a first-round pick. He would love to be a first-round pick. Everybody would. But will it alter the way he goes into a camp and how hard he works and how much he hones his craft? Heck no.
Mike, how many teams do you know of that are set to have visits with Trey being a top 30 prospect and all that? I know I read about the Titans. I was reading that this morning too. But do you know of a list of teams? Because I was wondering too if the Broncos were in that mix. I haven't found anything definitive that said the Broncos were set, but I know they've talked to Trey in the past.
I can't give you a definitive list of exactly which teams. I do think I've heard there are at least six tight end coaches that will be on hand tomorrow from different teams. And they are here, obviously, to watch Trey.
Yeah. Now, it's a great time. It really is, and it's exciting for CSU. It's exciting for Trey McBride. It's exciting for Fort Collins, for the state, to be honest with you. Mike Brohard joining us from CSURams.com. All right, Mike, going in almost a week of spring practice so far, and again, we can only take away so much, but it certainly seems like the vibe has been great. Planning to get out to Pro Day tomorrow and then Thursday, but so far, I asked you last week what your first takeaway was. What's kind of sitting in your brain right now that you know, when you leave work, you're thinking, man, this is a changer. This is really unique here. This is something I'm excited to see unfold.
Well, when I leave work, I'm thinking about how many ice cubes I put in my glass when I get home.
other than that, I'm sure you're having one of those for the birthday night too. So,
generally, when I'm out of practice, is when I'm thinking these things and walking away and kind of what my takeaway is. It's just a continued teaching process because, again, it's a new offense for those that returned. But I'm fascinated by the two practices. And the fact that it gets everybody extra reps so that they can get caught up. I'm fascinated by the fact that we've been in 1 week of fall camp and they've already installed the offense once. It's completely installed. Mm-hmm. And now they're just working on it again. And I think I am fascinated by just how the defensive approach is. It's very much the same, a little bit more complex, but it's completely new. I mean, when you look at the offensive side, you brought in almost an entirely offensive staff and a group of players that know how to run the system. Even the guys on the defensive side that came from Nevada, this is a new system for them, or at least a touch of a new system for them. And so everybody's learning it on that side. And I think that's where you can see maybe the biggest gains at the end of camp is on the defensive side of the ball. So I'm more curious about how the defense really develops and what it looks like during the spring game. Because, you know, Freddie Banks, it's not a huge rush to make sure that everything gets installed. He wants to make sure that they get the base installed and that they're really good at that. And then they'll become experts on it as they work on it in the summer and in the fall camp.
Yeah, very interesting. And I know these are brand new times, but as you said, I mean, it's just there's a lot of life around this program right now, and we'll be excited to see kind of how the rest of spring ball progresses, and like you said, how they carry that over into the next stages in the off season. Mike, always appreciate you, my man. Hope to see you tomorrow morning.
You're gonna come out tomorrow?
I'm planning on. I'm gonna be there. I'm gonna be there. I got to give you your birthday hug. So I'm gonna be that for that reason, and then obviously the pro day thing too. So a couple of reasons.
Yeah, I guess there's a couple of things.
So. All right, my friend. Appreciate you all you do, my man, and we'll catch up with you soon.
All right, thank you for the Blinky's Fun Club birthday introduction too.
That's all Jade's of Spades back there, man. That's all his work.
I'm surprised Jade's old enough to know where that came from.
I don't even know if he does. Could it be random? Maybe. We'll find out later. But
maybe found it on YouTube.
You can find it all, man. It's great. All right, yep. Mike, we'll see you tomorrow, man.
Take care, guys.
Mike Brohard, CSURams.com. Look at Jade's. I mean, you get compliments from our guys nonstop. I mean, you're doing a great job. Look at that. Mike Brohard doesn't compliment a lot of people unless they're like Trey McBride, tight end NFL guys. Look at that. You just got in the same category as Trey McBride. 34 minutes after the hour. We got a short break coming up. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Sefa Lufau, former Colorado Buffaloes quarterback, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KSKA.
I'm going to tell you about Greeley's Hometown Orthopedic Group. For over 51 years, Orthopedic and Spine Center of the Rockies has been a specialist in the medicine of motion. They have 6 medical campuses providing care along the Front Range. Orthopedic and Spine Center is proud to be Greeley's Hometown Orthopedic Group as well. Their campus in Greeley is located on 16th Street in the Greeley Medical Clinic on the third floor. Check them out. Fully open, ready to take care of you. You know, full with me, I went there years ago. I had jacked up my shoulder once. Man, I just have a lot of these stories. And I went to Orthopedic and Spine Center, met with one of the physicians there. And luckily, it was nothing too extreme. I didn't have to have surgery or anything like that. But I did do some therapy for a few months just to get my shoulder right. And the exercises and the work that they gave me, the list that they gave me, helped. I've never had that pain again. I pair that over with Rev Chiropractic and what I'm doing now. I'm all fixed up. I'm ready to go. So, hey, they work with me. You know, I played small town football, basketball, track, all that stuff. But strangely enough, I got beat up. I did. I broke some ribs, all that. And I think, it, you know, the older I get, the more it kind of it stays with me. Thankfully, you have great people like Orthopedic and Spine Center of the Rockies that can help you through those process. They also provide orthopedic services for injured workers and understand how important it is to quickly treat workplace injuries and help you get back to work. That's Orthopedic and Spine Center of the Rockies. All right, a couple of just, you know, housekeeping items today. How about this one? I don't know if this is much of a housekeeping deal, but kind of scary. Nathan MacKinnon going in for, you know, a look right now to see if he how bad of an injury he sustained. Will Peterson from Denver Media tweeted this moments ago, or about an hour ago, if Nathan MacKinnon broke his hand fighting, that's just horrible luck. The fight was necessary. Sparked the Avs in a big way, hoping this isn't serious. Whew, putting Nathan MacKinnon in a situation like that is a scary, scary thing, folks. And you know me, my hockey knowledge might not be great, but I do know that Nathan MacKinnon's really good at hockey, and not having him would be a really bad thing. Sportsnet tweeted out, the Colorado Avalanche will be without Nathan MacKinnon for sure for tonight's game against Calgary Flames. He is set to have further evaluation of an injury he may have sustained in the fight on Sunday night. So, nervous times right now. Jared Bednar was asked his level of concern right now. It's high. That's what he said. High level of concern. That puts a serious damper on what the Avs are trying to do this year. So we're gonna obviously stay close to that one. Boy, talk about a terrible blow. Now, we'll see. I mean, I'm looking at it right now. And again, sometimes those injuries that don't show, I mean, you see the fight, and I'm trying to look. I mean, he hit his hand big time on that helmet. And, I mean, it was a heck of a fight. Look at those guys go. Oh, yeah, I could just commentate on that. I mean, they're throwing a lot of punches there, and then his hand goes down hard into the ice, too. So I don't know if it was that situation, but this is what's tough. You know, Tanner and I go rounds about this, about, you know, he loves seeing. I'm not a big fight guy when it comes to this. You know, Will Smith, Chris Rock, okay, give me that fake drama all day long. It was fake, by the way. But when it comes to, hey, let's stop our hockey game to fight, I've never been a fan. It's just no other sport that I watch does it. And imagine if NASCAR, I don't watch NASCAR, but imagine if they just slam on the brakes and they get out and they start going at it. Imagine football. You know, Russell Wilson's going to the line, getting ready to say, hike. Wait a second, tight end's going at it with the cornerback. Let's stop play. Never been big into that. And then when you see injuries that can really mess this up down the road, that's tough, man. It's a tough look. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. How about this with a little bit of good news to mix in? Didn't get to this one yet, Jades. We got to now, though. NBA MVP straw poll. Nikola Jokic, Joel Embiid, and where the race stands, according to ESPN. Where is it at this point? Where does the Joker stack up? Here's the straw poll. Nikola Jokic has 62 first place votes. Next in line is Joel Embiid with 29. That's with, you know what, half a dozen games left for each team. What, 7-8 games maybe, give or take? 60, that's an overwhelming. It's them and everybody else, by the way. Next, the only other player to receive MVP votes, there we go, is Giannis. He got 9. So it is literally Joker and Embiid. Nobody else. And if you really want to look at this, according to the ESPN straw poll votes, which I think we can agree ESPN still, love them or hate them, still the king of sports coverage nationally, and they're not big on the Joker, for them to release this poll with Joker getting 62 and Joel Embiid getting 29, boy, don't you have to think it's Joker's job to lose here? He would have to go to sleep for the next handful of games. That's going to be pretty phenomenal. I didn't think, dude, at the beginning of the season, there's no way. And then he just kept putting away big games. And you're thinking, well, maybe. And now you're here. They have 6 games remaining. All he's got to do is just, like I said, not fall asleep at the wheel here. That's it. 62-29. He had four third place votes in this. But see, Joel Embiid, that's it. He had 29 first place, 37 second, 34 third place votes. Joker 62, and then second place was 31, and then he had four third place. No fourth, but somehow, some way, he had 3 fifth place votes. Joel Embiid didn't have any lower than fourth, than third. He had 34 third place votes and nothing else. Joker at 62, 31, 4, 0 at fourth, and 3 at fifth. Who is that? Who are those three people that don't know basketball? He was 2, now he's 1, obviously. But that's it, man. It's between those two guys, and it looks like it's going to be the Joker going forward. I think that is, that's pretty phenomenal, man. You're going to go from the Nuggets never having an MVP to having a 2-time MVP back-to-back. Where does that put him in the conversation of greatest? I'm not saying he's in Jordan territory and Larry Bird territory and Magic Johnson and even Kobe Bryant. Is he in top 20 territory? Does he get into that? Is he like in the Tim? Is he jump into the Tim Duncan classifications now? The Dirks? Or does he still need a title? Because Duncan has what? 5? Does Duncan have 5 titles? Pretty sure he's 5. Either way, looks like it's coming, man. 6 games left. Just keep that pace going, and Joker's going to get another MVP. The guy that probably doesn't care about it, cares about it the least. Because that's the kind of dude he is. 47 minutes after the hour, we're going to wrap up the show with what's on tonight. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
March Madness can be heard right here on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Steve Fairchild at FairchildQBTraining.com, and you are listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the 1 o'clock hour, almost done here. Rain's coming down. How's that going to affect the UNC football pro day? Not sure about the indoor facility set up there. So we'll jump out there. I'm going to go out there. I think Tanner's coming with me from NOCO now. Join me at 3 o'clock. Hopefully get some pictures. Not sure how late I'll be able to stay and get to interviews and such, but I will tell you tomorrow morning I'll also be at Colorado State, their pro day. And obviously a lot of eyes and ears pointing toward the Rams tomorrow. You know, some good names on this list. And unfortunately, when you look at it, like I said, great names on this list for CSU. Great guys, too. But, you know, the seasons just weren't fantastic for these guys. You know, leading with Trey McBride. You know, Scott Patchen, who we had a chance to catch up with here once a week on the show. Really cool guy. You know, that talent certainly, I think, can translate to the next level. Will it? You know, the age thing, maybe NFL guys do get a little concerned about that, but we'll see. Ryan Stonehouse, hell of a punter. Again, a lot of these, Barry Wesley, local guy. You know, a lot of these names, you just look at and say, man, there's some good players. Manny Jones. Wish it would have worked out a little bit better for him. Even Cam Butler, a tight end. You know, you talk about tight ends. Trey McBride, certainly the guy. But Cam Butler might be one of those guys that can make a name for himself, too. So it'll be exciting to see, you know, the teams that are out there. Who's interested? Who's in Fort Collins? Be fun, man. All right, what's on TV tonight? The Avalanche going up against the Flames. That's at 7 o'clock on ESPN+. No Nathan McKinnon. Waiting to see just how severe that might be. Hopefully it's not terrible news for the Avs going forward. So we'll be looking forward to that one. Also, the Rockies continue on in spring training going up against the Los Angeles Angels starting at 2:10. Don't forget, KFK is your official home for the Northern Colorado home for the Colorado Rockies. Also beginning this week, Rockies Rundown with Tanner Schwint and Jerry Schimmel. They're going to be breaking down Rockies talk each and every week here on KFKA. 2 o'clock on Thursdays. Is that right, Jade? You're going to be working that. All right, that'll do it for us. Good night, Northern Colorado.